are finding your way once again to Organic Matters. Well, as most of you that have listened to me for years know, I live, at least this time, I've moved around a bit, in Texas. And if you watch the news at all, if not the biggest, one of the two biggest fires ever to hit this state has really devastated an area big as the state of Rhode Island. So we're going to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of what's going on. Why are all these fires here? What are the health problems? I'm going to try to run through that on a basis. I actually based it on a previous fire because I had written this or put it together and just hadn't gotten around to doing it. So we'll go through that, but it'll pretty much reflect the same problems we're having right here in our great state of Texas. Start by a little story I pulled up a few weeks ago, but it's appropriate for the last few weeks here in Texas. It was a smell originally that invoked my memory. It was smoke from wildfires, the odor of an increasing hot and occasionally on fire world. In my life, it's somewhat ironic. I was raised in South Georgia and North Florida area where they'd already decided, and done properly, they had controlled burns, which actually made the forest and the land around us safer and not letting the underbrush get too thick, number one. Number two, because the biggest crop where I lived was pine trees, believe it or not. It also made a perfect, it was a natural thing to happen in pine forest. But as Earth's climate continues to change, mostly from heat-trapping gases spewed in the air, ever fewer people are out of the reach from billowing smoke and deadly fingers of wildfire smoke. Already, wildfires are consuming 3 times more of the United States and Canada each year than they did just back in the 1980s. And unfortunately, current studies predict fire and smoke are only going to get worse. While many people exposed to bad air may be asking themselves if this is a new normal, several scientists told the Associated Press that specifically reject any such idea because the phrase makes it sound like the world has changed to a new and steady pattern of extreme events. Is this a new normal? It's a new abnormal. Maybe that's a better way to say it. University of Pennsylvania climate scientist Michael Mann, very, very well-known man, incidentally, it continues to get worse, no doubt about it. If we continue to warm the planet, we don't settle into some new state. It's an ever-moving baseline of worse follows worse. It is so bad that perhaps the term wildfire also needs to be rethought. So can we really even call them wildfires anymore? To some extent, they're just not. They're not wild. They're not natural anymore. We are just making them more and more likely. We're making them more intense and more often. Several scientists told the AP, Associated Press, is where I'm getting a lot of this information from, that the problem of smoke and wildfires will progressively worsen until the world significantly reduces greenhouse gas emissions. It's a connection, which has not happened despite years of international negotiations and lofty goals. We're not doing a very good job at it, folks. Fires in North America are generally getting worse, burning more land. For instance, Canada has set a record of the most area burned, with over 31,000 now, 432 square miles. Listen to that. 32,000 square miles in Canada that year. That's 15% higher than any old record that we know of. Now, do realize a year like this could happen with or without climate change, but warming temperatures just make it a lot more probable. Folks, we're definitely seeing, especially across the West, big increases in smoke exposure and reduction in air quality that are totally attributable to increase in fire activity. And again, we've just had a real stroke of that in the panhandle of Texas in the last week or so. The studies are in. Numerous studies have linked climate change to increases in North American fires. Because global warming is an increasing extreme weather, especially drought, and so far mostly in the western part of our country. Although there's now a number of studies that show that increase in fires is actually heading towards the east. Think about this. As the atmosphere dries, it sucks moisture out of plants, creating more fuel that burns easier, faster, and with greater intensity. Then you add more lightning strikes because of the change from more storms, and they are increasing, some of which are what we call dry lightning strikes, which even have more of a chance of starting these fires. Fire seasons are getting longer, starting earlier and lasting later, all because of the warmer weather. In short, we're just going to have to learn to live with fires and smoke. It's just a new reality. You know, it makes me think about climate change and also how it essentially could affect anyone, you know, anywhere. It's not just, for instance, we thought of more of a West Coast California problem or maybe Australia. Now it's kind of anywhere, everywhere problem that could pop up, period. For some stats, wildfires in the U.S. now average the burn of 12,000 square miles a year. 12,000. That's basically the size of the state of Maryland. From 1983 to 1987, when the National Interagency Fire Center started keeping statistics, in that area only about 3,300 square miles burned annually. So it's quadrupled from 87 to now. It's a coming problem. Let's use Canada right now, sort of as an example. During the past 5 years, including the record low year, interestingly, 2020, Canada has averaged 12,279 miles of burned forest each and every year. That's 3.5 times larger than in the same 83 to 87 that I mentioned to you in the United States, which is also about 12,000 square miles a year. The type of fires seen recently in Western Canada are an amount scientists and computer models predicted from the 2030s to the 2040s. And Eastern Canada, where it rains more often, wasn't supposed to see occasional fire years like this until probably the 21st century. But now we're seeing increasing fires in East Canada. That means eventually, and probably sooner than researchers ever thought, the Eastern United States will also. One fire that comes to mind was a fire in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, that killed 14 people, and this was way back before we were even watching for the fires, just because of a brief drought we had in the east. There was a time in the past when America burned really much more than we thought, but that was because people didn't try to stop the fires and they were less of a real threat. The West used to have larger and regular fires until about the mid-19th century, with more land settlement, and then the U.S. government started trying to douse every fire after the great 1910 Yellowstone fire, which you've probably heard of. Since about the 1950s, American fires pretty much got wildfires down to a minimum, but that hasn't been the case since the turn of the century, since the year 2000, 2001. We thought we had it under control, but we don't. The climate changes so much faster and more that we have lost control of it. The warmer the Arctic gets, and the more snow and ice melts there, the Arctic is warming, incidentally, 3 times faster than the rest of the whole Earth. The differences in the summer between Arctic and mid-latitudes is getting smaller all the time. That allows the jet stream of high air above the ground to meander and get stuck. We've seen this happen, prolonging bouts of bad weather. And scientists are still learning what these bouts of bad weather caused by this stuck weather system, just how bad and how often that's going to happen. A new study this past June links a stuck weather pattern to reduced North American snow cover in the spring will be more often. For people exposed to nasty air from wildfire smoke, increasing threats to health are part of a real new reality. Wildfire exposes about 44 million people a year now, that's worldwide, to unhealthy air, causing about 677,000 deaths annually. That's almost 39% of them, unfortunately, are children. And this is according to a 2021 study, long-term study, put out by the United Kingdom. And here on the state side, one study looked at a dozen years of wildfire smoke exposure in the state of Washington. It showed a 1% all-ages increase in the odds of non-traumatic death the same day as the smoke hit the area and 2% for the day after. Risk of respiratory deaths jumped 14% and as much as even more than 35% for adults above 45 into the age of 64. The tiny particles making up a main pollutant of wildfire smoke called PM2.5 are just the right size to embed deep in the lungs and be absorbed into our blood. But while their size has garnered attention, their composition also matters. There is emerging evidence that the toxicity of wildfire smoke, PM2.5, is much more toxic than what comes out of, for instance, the tailpipes of your car. A cascade of health effects may become a growing problem in the wake of more and more wildfires, including downwind from the source. You don't even have to be right in the fire, folks. Beyond irritated eyes and scratchy throats, breathing in wildfire smoke also can create long-term issues over whole parts of your body. These include respiratory effects, including asthma and COPD, as well as impacts on your heart, your brain, and even your kidney function. In the longer term, climate change and unfortunately wildfire smoke is not going away because we really haven't done much. And what we haven't done quick enough to make a difference. In other words, we're ultimately behind the curve here in terms of responding to it. Very similar to the way we've treated climate change, climate warming, global warming, whatever you call it. We wait till it happens. Even when we know it's coming, scientists told us for 30 years what was going to happen to the climate. And no, as long as the industrial petroleum companies, things can make money, they'll overlook it. They'll pretend. They'll put a Band-Aid on it. They're not doing anything at all to really stop it. As of me recording this, which I'm recording on Thursday before you get to hear it on the weekend, the Smokehouse Creek Fire had spread to 1.1 million acres. Think about it. 1.1 million acres. As of Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., Texas A&M Forest Service said the Smokehouse Fire was finally about 90% contained and has burned, and I'll give you the exact amount of that day, has burned 1,058,482 acres. And I should add this that we haven't even talked about. A new nearby fire called the Windy Deuce Fire spread to more than 144,000 acres and is about 94% contained. But there is still danger that the deadly and disastrous fires could further spread. And though I've mostly done this about Texas, because that's where I live, I did look it up, and as of today, 200,000 acres have burned in the Oklahoma wildfires that are sort of indirectly attached to this entire system, folks. So add that up. You're looking at over 1.3 million acres of land. To put that in perspective, consider it this way. It's enough land to build four states of Rhode Island and a little extra. And that's all burnt in the last 10 days or so. Big fire. Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. I know we don't always have to do this. The last few weeks have been all gardening because it's spring. But I appreciate you tuning in.